everybody. Thanks for coming and listening to this presentation. It's about NotSchool.net. I'm Carol Chapman. I'm head of research and evaluation at NotSchool. If you don't know about NotSchool, NotSchool's a vision for future learning. I think it's really important because there's a lot of young people today, about 100,000 young people, who are outside formal education. NotSchool is a DFES project run by a charity which was set up 6 years ago with the idea of bringing young people back into learning. And if you are asking why do you need to bring young people back into learning, it's because we haven't got enough young people today to afford to let them fall out. Not only that, but a lot of young people who end up in young offenders institutions or prisons have very low levels of literacy, haven't attended school and have truanted. So we as a society need to do something. Not only that, I can see everybody around here. If you want to live reasonably and comfortably in your old age and draw your pensions, which I'm sure you'll do, then you need these kids to be in employment. Because frankly, we haven't got enough young people for any child to be wasted these days. So NotSchool is about re-engaging those young people. Why do I think this matters? I think it matters because there's a lot of things that NotSchool can teach schools about learning and how you will go ahead learning. So, you know, we have a model that works. We have a model that we've spent 6 years researching, and we have a model which can help schools understand how we can re-engage the increasing numbers of young people who are outside formal education. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put up some statistics. I'm not going to read them to you because I'm sure you can all read them, but I find these statistics pretty horrifying. Okay, so as I said, 100,000 young people are missing from school roles. Lots of young people are not in education or employment or training. Lots of young people are diagnosed mentally ill and therefore can't attend school. Some of the young people that we take on are carers. You know, a young child that I talked to the other day, mum was dying. Child hadn't been at school for 2 years because mum's life expectancy was another 6 months. Why would that child go to school and leave mum when that might be the last day they see her? So we owe these children an education. We need them. As I said, we need them for the future. So I think these statistics are pretty bad. Yeah? I think if you look at youth offending teams, if you look at young people in prisons, you will find that a lot of those young people have spent a lot of their time outside school. Yeah. And as I say, 100,000 young people are missing from school roles. They're not anywhere. People don't know they're there. People aren't aware of them. They aren't on people's radar. And in many schools, it's not in their interest to do very much about these young people. Because due to government targets, you know, head teachers need to get young people up from grade D and E up to C. What about those young people who aren't even going to get there? Yeah, they're not on our target range. So actually we need to spend some time and think about those young people. So 6 years ago, we started a project to help re-engage these young people. To date, we've had over 2,000 young people on the project called NotSchool. So how does NotSchool work? Well, we work 365 days a year, 24/7. So we work all the time with these young people. They've missed a heck of a lot of education. Surprisingly enough, I'm still picking up young people who went to school last when they were 6 years old and are now 14. That's not necessarily their fault. They might be carers, they might be terminally ill, they might be mentally ill, they might have all sorts of problems which mean they can't attend formal education. They might be on witness protection schemes. We get quite a lot of young people from the Home Office. They might have been involved in gun crime. Yeah. So anything you can think of. So far we've had over 2,600 young people, and we take about 1,000 young people a year. We take mostly young people from 14 to 16 in Key Stage 4, because actually younger than that, somebody should be working really hard to get young people back into schools. Okay, so those are the sort of young people we take. We have 150 areas of interest. So when a young person comes onto NotSchool, we don't say, you have to do maths now, you have to do science now. We say, actually, what are you interested in? What do you want to do? Most young people have something they are interested in, be it music, be it arts, whatever. Most young people have something they are interested in. we start with what they're interested in. So if they're interested in music, rhythm and blues, we'll start with music. Yeah, and the young person will do music. If they're interested in art, we'll start getting them to take pictures. If you've got a young child who says, I'm interested in motorbikes, I'm not interested in anything else but motorbikes, you say to them, okay, which motorbikes are you interested in? Go and take some pictures for us. The young child will go out with their digital camera, they'll take those pictures, they'll upload them onto the computer, they send them to their learning mentor, the mentor might talk to them and say, you know, why those particular bikes? What's special about those? There's a lot of ICT skills which we can unpack and accredit, and it relies on our learning mentors looking for those ITC skills and looking for the abilities of young people. We accredit young people from those skills. So those 150 areas can include anything. We don't say you have to do everything. We're interested in basic skills. Most of our young people will only do 3 or 4 subjects. So most of our young people will concentrate on 3 or 4 things. I like to think they're just PhD type students. They specialise really early. Many of them have very strong ICT skills, as you can imagine. They learn a heck of a lot. Our 150 areas, some of them are run by experts. Our science area is run by the Science Museum. Other of our areas are run by young people. Why the heck would I employ somebody to teach Flash when I've got a 14 and 15 year old who are fantastic at Flash? They're much better at writing action scripts than I am, or I suspect many of you are. What would be the point? So that young person runs our community. That's great for them. They get the chance to help other people, to talk to people about how to do things. You think of the learning gains in that. That's tremendous. We have a BMX champion. He doesn't go to school because he's busy entering competitions and traveling around the country. He runs our bicycling community. He knows everything about changing chains, bicycles, tires, different types of bikes. Why would I bother to do that when he can do it? And so on. Our movie making community is run by the young people. So of those 150 areas, many are run by young people, but many are run by experts as well. So it's really important. There's parity of esteem. Nobody's saying to these young people, what you're doing is no good. What we're saying is we really value what you're doing. What we're interested in is new literacy. Most of their lives, the young people who come to us have been told, you're useless at English, you're useless at maths. You've got to do more of that before you can do something that you're good at. Okay, so you need extra classes. So let's take you out of art and give you extra English. Or let's take you out of music and give you extra maths. What we're saying is, okay, let's do maths, let's do English, let's do anything that you're interested in, only what you are interested in, and then let's introduce literacy and numeracy into those subjects. If you are any good at Flash, you'll know that there's a lot of maths in Flash. Yeah, there's a lot of timelines and countings and animations. You can do a lot of things from that. We can credit young people's numeracy and number work. When I went to visit a young girl the other day, she was staggered because I brought a maths certificate for her. She said, I can't do maths. I'm really, really useless at maths. You know, I've never been any good at maths in my life. She'd done childcare. What she'd done is she'd gone to Tesco's and she'd worked out how much all the products costed. She worked out how much it cost to keep a baby a week. If the baby had been twins, how much would that have cost? She didn't recognise it as maths because it was practical. You know, I mean, I think that Seymour Papert is right. Most young people don't like maths because it's far too abstract. Very few people can work with abstract maths. But if it's practical, if it's built into our everyday life, then we can do that, and that's what Not School does. The other thing Not School does is takes away the pressure. Okay? There's no pressure. Nobody says, you're a failure, you must do this. Young people set their own deadlines and guidelines. So they say, with their learning mentor, who's a qualified teacher and assigned to them, I'm going to do this by such and such a date. Yeah? And they set the deadlines for themselves. What schools can find out is interesting, I think, is that young people will spend an awful long time sometimes doing one particular subject. It's not 30 minutes, it's not an hour, it may be 2 months, it may be 3 months. It will be a long period of time studying one particular thing. When they've achieved their objective, they'll move on to something else. So it's very much a model whereby you set your targets, you set your learning deadlines, there's no pressure on you to achieve. If those deadlines slip, you talk about it. But we do expect responsibility from our young people. Because we're 365, our young people go on holiday, yeah? But we expect them to let us know when they're going away on holiday. So we expect them to tell us, actually, I won't be online for 2 weeks because I'm away on holiday. That builds a sense of responsibility. We expect them to keep their computer, which they get from us, running and working in good order. If it breaks down, we talk to them on the phone. They diagnose the fault. If the fault can't be diagnosed and they can't mend it, we actually ask them to pack up the bit that's broken and send it back to us, and we send a courier to pick it up and send them a new bit. It's about taking responsibility for your own learning. So it's no pressure, but it is taking responsibility. One of the reasons why we're so successful is because when our young people go into further education, they are much better ready and paced to attend further education because they've learnt from the very beginning, you know, this is me, this is what I'm going to do, this is how I'm going to set my targets, this is how I'm going to set my deadlines. So our young people are well prepared to enter further education. You might be surprised to know that 61% of our young people, and don't forget, these are people who are outside education, had no hope whatsoever, go into further education every year. I think that's phenomenal. And 10% of them go into higher education and graduate. Now, if we're going to forget those young people and say they're no good, what do those figures tell us? It tells us that there's some hope for everybody. So no pressure, no brain. The other thing, there's a lot in the show about personalisation, right? You hear everybody on every stand talking about personalisation. Not School is really personalised because it's what you want to learn, when you want to learn it, at the pace you want to learn it. And yes, in Not School you can take exams, but they're exams which suit you. Okay, not exams that school says you must do. So you've got to do an Excel exam, such and such. It's actually, okay, let's look around. You're good at childcare. Who does a childcare exam that might suit you? Okay, the childcare exam might be an NCFE exam. Let's put you in for that. So it's very much, if you want to do exams, you can, but they're exams that suit you. For most of our young people, GCSEs aren't suitable because they've got timelines and deadlines and coursework, the building blocks that many of them have missed. So although they can do GCSEs or Not School, a lot of them don't do so. But they do other exams. And most important of all, we work for 3 months with all our young people to make sure they go into some sort of employment. I get very upset if our Not School young people end up on Tesco stacking shelves. Not that I've got anything against Tesco's, but I want to move these people into work-based employment or into further education. Because if we're going to break cycles of deprivation and poverty, we need to do that. And that's vitally important. So we need to move these young people on. We need to break these cycles, and that means education and employment. Every year, we have about 3% of young people we can't place anywhere. I don't think that's bad, I think that's pretty good. I think that will always be the case. If you remember that we take severely disabled, mentally handicapped, terminally ill young people, you wouldn't expect us to place everybody. But I think 97% is a pretty good figure, and I think we are pretty successful. And finally, what do I think schools can learn? I don't want to keep you forever, so I'll... They can learn a lot from us about personalisation, you know, that you can develop a model. Remember, we work with 1,000 kids every year. That's the sort of number that many secondary schools take on. If we can work with a personalised agenda for this number of children, so can schools. There's no reason why they shouldn't do so and they can't do so. We can use technology, and don't forget we're a technology project, so all our work is online. We don't actually visit young people, rarely ever, because our young people are visited by lots of people in authority, social services, education, welfare, ed sites and all sorts. We don't actually visit. Technology can be used to re-engage young people. I sometimes find it quite strange when schools are building or new schools are being built that heads seem to think there needs to be a space for every single child in the school. You know, why are all children ever in the school together at particular times? Our children work from home. They work really effectively from home. Online you can track and record and see what they're doing. It's questions about the curriculum and new literacy. You know, there are a lot of questions in schools that need to be asked about, you know, English and numeracy and so forth. I think primary schools have got a lot they can teach secondary schools about project-based learning. And teachers are especially skilled at looking for learning gains. And they're especially skilled at pulling out those learning gains from young people. So we should trust them much more to do those things. And skills for the 21st century. I've said to you that the young people that we send out are much better prepared for further education. know, skills for the 21st century, working together, working with others, problem solving, you know. Somebody said to me, why don't you put remote access on the computers? Then you could actually log on to every child's computer and sort out all the problems themselves. How would that help our young people be independent and problem solving? So it's about problem solving as well. So these are sort of skills that, and sort of questions I would ask schools that they can learn from Not School. You know, the fact that we are so successful in re-engaging young people means that we have things for schools to learn from us. And there's lots more. Okay? And we're stand D109 if you want to come and see us. Thank you.